before we start the class, all these things are, what, two devotees, Aniruddha and Ananda Kirtan. They just had a car accident, and they said one is dead and the other one is unconscious. We don't know who. You heard what he said? No, but did you hear what he said when he said it? So they had the accident, and somebody, passerby, picked up one of their phones and called the temple and told them. Somewhere between Wari and...
They were coming from Abuja.
Yeah.
So they say that it's around Lokoja. Lokoja is the center of Nigeria.
Really? So they're far away?
Yes.
Huh? Okay, anyway, you know where it is. So what do? We have to pray for the one who's not dead, that somehow he, you know, he'll be all right. But for both of them, that they remember Krishna. This is always something, you know. Krishna, the material world is such a place. They say, you know, padam padam yat vipadam nate sham. And we all think, no, no, it won't happen to me. No, it's all right. I'm safe. But we're not safe. So this verse is important verse. One of my favorites. Nunam pramatak kudute vikarma. You know, people are crazy. So the translation is, when a person, this is the fifth canto, chapter 5, text number 4. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he's already achieved the body, which although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent person to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. The material body, birth, death, disease, and old age, injury. Always we're hearing about devotee in the hospital, devotee sick, devotee in a car accident. The car accident ones, I know we don't drive that much here, and I just tell, I have a little experience. Back in, I don't know when it was, 73, around that time, Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. So some devotees were in Arizona, which is about a 10 hours drive or something, and they were driving all night to come and see Prabhupada. Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
And they went off a mountain road, you know, big mountains in between Arizona and California, big mountains. You don't have that. Really big. So they went off the mountain road, fell asleep probably. So the one was killed, the other one was so many broken bones and many years to recover. So that happened in the night. And Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam class, he was crying. And he said, you know, we give 50 gallons of blood or something to make one devotee. And he was crying that this devotee had died and one was injured so badly. And then he spoke philosophically, but he talked to the leaders. And he told them no one should ever drive at night, after 10 o'clock at night. And they shouldn't drive over 60 miles an hour. Because, you know, in America, people drive sometimes 100 miles an hour. I used to drive 120. You know, this straight road, big cars, how I ever survived, but, and drive all night also. But after I heard that, that was when I was a karmi. Then when I look back, I know that karma is a big factor, that some people are, you know, playing it really safe all the time and get hit by a tank or something. Other people are so careless and intoxicated, everything, and nothing happens. So devotees also, it happens for whatever reason. But but it doesn't mean we should just think, well, I don't have to be careful. If we're driving, we have to be very, very careful. Falling asleep has been the cause of many, many devotees dying in car accidents or being injured really, really bad. They go to a festival, they're feasting, partying for a couple of days, and then they try to drive all night to get home, and they go off the road or something. Sometimes many devotees in the car. So we have to be extremely careful driving. Very dangerous. You get night, the most accidents are like 3 or 4 in the morning, so that's when you're the most sleepy. Supposed to be getting up, you know, and chanting, not doing anything else. But so it's very sad, and we can't just say, oh, well, you know, Aniruddha Prabhu is one of the leading young people, leaders of the youth in this area. I don't know where they go to Abuja for.
I think you were telling me you were going there to meet the South African ambassador.
Well, that's nice. That's what I was wondering if we did that. But anyway, we pray that, you know, we've all been praying for Indaduna Maharaj is in the hospital with some kind of very dangerous infection. I don't know how he got it. But fortunately, this infection is a bacteria that is very, very rare. And the medicine for only one specific antibiotic works, and it's very rare. But somehow or other, the hospital he went to has it. And they were able to find out. They can't even find out quickly what it is. They have to let the blood sit and the whole thing and find out exactly what kind of bacteria it is. And in hospitals, there's all kinds of new bacteria all the time, you know, from all the sick people. It goes in the air and... But he's getting better. But it's very dangerous. So, you know, the whole world is praying for that. We pray for these devotees. And pray that we can learn, you know, from also. I know Niranjan Swami, some devotees in Russia got killed driving all night from the festival. And he said the same thing. He just gets so upset to have to keep repeating this, don't drive it all night. Professionals that sleep all day, they can drive, you know, that always drive all night, they can do it. But when devotees are regulated, they sleep at that time. So, you know, they're putting toothpicks in their eyes or something. And we're not drinking coffee and taking drugs like the karmis do. The karmi drivers, they take so much drugs to stay awake. There was a song, the truck driver, and I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide, you know, I've been driving for 6 days. You know, they do that. So the trucks in America, they have a timer and they have to check in, and then after so many hours, the truck won't go anymore unless they cheat and they got their checking because so many get killed. Car drivers, you know, they can't check in. So we don't want to blame them. They're just trying to do their service. They're in a hurry and they're thinking, you know, Krishna protects us. But Krishna protects us by giving us intelligence. Not that he just saves us. Sometimes he does. Myself, one time I was the secretary of Tamal Krishna Goswami, and I was up all night, very late, and we had to go somewhere very early in the morning. And I said, who's going to drive? And somebody said, you are. I said, no, I can't drive. I'm too tired. He said, you drive. So I did. Super. And this was in Texas. Texas is completely flat. You don't see, there's nothing. The desert. There's no trees, there's nothing. Just straight road. You can see the heat coming up. And everybody fell asleep in the back of the van. And I was like, you know, and I was talking to one devotee, and I was saying, this is really hard. There's no distraction in the world. There's nothing, no curves, nothing. Nothing to make you stay awake. And then the wheel went up, you know, off the side. And I tried to go back, but it didn't. It was going pretty fast. So it's really wide between the two directions. So I went this way, and I thought, I'll just go down in there, and then I'll slow down and stop. I looked up, and there's a river, you know.
Wow.
So I just went more this way. And right in front of the bridge on the other lane, you know, and the car went, and I thought I hit the bridge. And all of a sudden I was sitting, and I saw cars coming in a big panic, you know, the other way. And all of a sudden I was just sitting there. Turned over, the car was facing the other direction, and it was in the one lane, so the people were able to go around me. And everybody woke up, they said, you know, what's going on? I said, and the car, nothing, it didn't hit the bridge, it just, when the wheels hit the road, and I felt like Krishna just took that car, and, you know, it's completely insane thing, but, you know, I should have been more strong, but at that time, you know, the leader tells you something else. I tried to say no, but so ever since then, I, especially anything I was in charge of, was always like really fanatic about the drivers, and they have to sleep, and they have to stop every couple hours, and exercise, and all kinds of things. So we never had any accidents. Only one crazy guy. He was not submissive. But, you know, we have to really think. And driving is so dangerous, especially in Africa. The roads are so bad. You know, crazy drivers driving those trucks. One time we were driving from Lagos to Benin, the old car, and the guy, he was a devotee, but he was going like really 120. I said, "You're going too fast." No, shut up, you stupid white man. And all of a sudden, the whole wheel fell off, and the whole axle on one side fell off. And then, of course, you know, two or three vans immediately pull up behind us to fix it. And we're in the middle of the night, you know, on the highway called Benin. It took like 3 or 4 hours before they got another car down to pick us up. And the guys immediately started, you know, picked it up and started working. But they had to take the whole thing in and grind it down. No, I'm not going too fast. Just shut up. You know. No problem. An old car, you know, you can't drive. We didn't hit anybody. Anyway. Purport. Begging, borrowing, and stealing to live for sense gratification is condemned in this verse because such consciousness leads one to a dark, hellish condition. The four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat eating, flesh eating, intoxication, and gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. In the Vedas it is said, Asanga Yayam Purusha. The living entity is not really connected to the material body, to the material world, but due to the tendency to enjoy the material senses, he is put into the material condition. One should perfect his life by associating with devotees. He should not become further implicated in the material body. So everybody today, dedicate all your book distribution, whatever chanting, everything you do to these two devotees. Krishna protects devotees, and sometimes it means that, you know, they remember him at the time of death. But it's possible by carelessness to shorten your allotted time. It's possible to lengthen a little bit by living right, you know, by pranayama and all that. You can live longer than your karma. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vishamsa. That particular prayer actually says everything. Then the next ones, they explain it a little bit. You know, Sri Guru, and I offer obeisance to my guru and all gurus to Vandeham, Sri Guru, and Vaishnava, all devotees, Sri Rupa, all the six Goswamis, Sadvaitam, Sabadutam, Avaduta, Lord Nishananda, and Lord Chaitanya, and Radha Krishna, and the gopis. Everything is there. And then the other verses go specifically. And so we offer to all the acharyas, back to Jagannath Das Babaji, and then to Lord Chaitanya, and Panchatattva, and Krishna, and then to the different deities of Vrindavan, and Radharani, and then all the devotees again. So, this verse is very interesting. See, we're suffering in the material body, and then the whole propaganda of Maya is that sense gratification relieves your suffering. Your mind is disturbed, so get intoxicated and you won't be disturbed. Right? You feel lusty, so have sex, and then you'll be happy for a few minutes. So, without knowing that the reason we are suffering is because we've done these things all in the past, you know. So, that meat eating, flesh, meat is a bad word, it should be. If we talk to people, if we say flesh eating, dead body eating, it's much more effective. Because meat, now everybody thinks it's nice. See, when the Bible was put into English, when was that, 1600 or something? So the word meat was just a general word for eating. So the English Bible says very many times meat. And Christians will say, but the Bible says you have to eat meat. And I saw one Bible, every time it said meat, it put in bold, bigger type. And I was in Israel one time, and I had the Bible on the computer. So, you know, I had searched meat, and then they looked for the same verse in the Hebrew. It never said flesh. In Hebrew, there's like 25 words, 27 words or something, that all get translated in English to meat. But every one we looked up, maybe 20 verses, it said they ate their morning meal, they had bread, they took fruit, they had dinner, they had lunch. You know, it never said they ate flesh. But now, in English language, meat means flesh. And it's something really wonderful and essential. If you say dead flesh, people, I don't want to eat that. That's what they're eating, right? They don't even know. Here, maybe they kind of know because you see it in the market, see them killing animals and stuff. But they try everything. And so people are just getting more and more material bodies, but they get a meat-eating material body. You know, tiger or rat or, you know, some kind of animal with all those sharp teeth, and, you know, that's built, made for eating meat. Dogs, cats, and they'll suffer even more. So this is the madness, you know. They're crazy after materialistic living. They think sense gratification is a goal, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The demons think that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the goal of life. They want to die gratifying their senses, enjoying senses. That's their goal in life. Die on the golf course or die eating in a big restaurant. They're successful. Die having sex. You know, they dream like that. We might think we like to die on Harinam or die distributing a book or something. You know, that would be good fortune. Die in a big kirtan. Most devotees that we hear leave their body. If they die a more natural death, they're surrounded by devotees that are chanting. And Krishna protects devotees. But even if somebody dies like this in an accident, you know, if they're devotees, Krishna will make them remember him anyway, even if they're all alone. So. pray. And Prabhupada heard a devotee died, he immediately started praying, you know, for that soul. So Rishabhdev says it's, you know, we have this body which is temporary and the cause of all the misery, but we think that sense gratification will give me pleasure and reduce my misery. And that's being advertised everywhere, you know, more and more. When we went to the university there up in, where is that university? Thinking University.
Inuvu,
yeah. And some, the students there are very intelligent. And one asked, like, how can we not be affected by all this advertising and all this propaganda for sense gratification? They're sincere. But the only way is to be getting pleasure from Krishna. Like, param dishtva nivartante, to have a higher taste. Otherwise we'd still, you know, want to go for these lesser things. So gradually, you know, we'd rather chant than hear mundane music. We'd rather read the Bhagavad Gita than read the newspaper. And, you know, but still that taste is always remaining. Let me see what's going on. Yeah. It's never satisfying. Beginning, at least, we don't want to eat anything except prasadam. And devotees, we learn that, you know, Krishna knows everything. So we can't get away with it. That's why in the Vedic culture, even someone leaves a bowl on the ground, nobody will pick it up. Because they know it's not mine. It belongs to somebody. That's what the Pandavas, Arjuna is called Dhananjaya, because after the war they were broke. Spend all the money for the battle of Kurukshetra. So they knew that up in the mountains there was a place with so much gold, not in the gold mine, but it was from a previous time, a long time before, and there had been some big yagya, and there were so many Brahmins, and they were all given golden plates and gold and everything, and they just left it all behind, didn't care for it. So nobody ever picked it up, because it's not there. But the government, the king had the right, belongs to him, so Arjuna went and collected it. But nowadays, even if you put the gold in your safe, then somebody will come and steal it, right? You have to watch out. You know, that people have a gold necklace, many people have been killed. You know, when in America, somebody drove by in a car and grabbed their necklace and dragged them along, you know, because it didn't break. Person died, and then they try to cut it, and they cut the person's throat, you know. So the rich people, they keep their gold in the bank, and they wear fake jewelry, and they advertise, I'm wearing all fake, and nothing real. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada told us, don't use any real jewels or gold, anything for the thieves, because the thieves will just come. Even in the Bombay temple, I think it was Bombay, in the beginning they had silver plates, and they got stolen. And only pujaris went in there. But they stole it. You know, it's valuable. And they think, well, you know, nobody will know, I'll just take one. And the big temples in India, the old temples, they have so much jewels and gold. And nobody knows, you know, pujaris are always taking it. They take one little jewel. And they don't need anything else. And nobody can keep track of it. But Krishna knows. Krishna knows everything, so the Yamadutas, the Yamaraj's court, they have many witnesses to tell us about our life. The wind and the rain, the sun and the moon, the air. And then in case you could hide from all those things, the Super Soul also. And you can't hide from the Super Soul. So, you know that the devotee, and you understand, everything belongs to Krishna. I can only take what's my quota. You can't get less, and if we try to take more, we'll be in trouble. But the tendency is always there. Well, you know, this Krishna has so much. We never know. The devotee sometimes, it's very hard to constantly keep everything locked up, and keep track of everything, and look out for cheaters, and talk to any of these devotees who have companies, how many times they've been cheated by their employees, and by other, like one devotee, he had a big business in Europe, and it was growing. Of course, he tried to grow too much, but the last time I saw him, he said, well, he was getting cheated so much. He is doing this refilling ink cartridges. He had a huge factory, and he was filling 5,000 a day, making them better than new, and laser cartridges, a few hundred. And then he started selling to Russians, and the Russians were saying, these are no good. I'm not going to pay for them. So we'll send them back, but they wouldn't send them back either. Because they're selling them. And then, it was all so much money. People cheat like that. And that, the customers cheat. Prabhupada, that happened to him. Customers didn't pay. And then another man in the company started telling the boss that Prabhupada was stealing and Prabhupada was cheating because he wanted his son to get the job that Prabhupada had. And, even the Prabhupada, of course, for Prabhupada it was transcendental to relieve him of, material life, but it's just a dangerous world. And it's better to be honest, because Krishna knows everything, and then we can be peaceful. Liars are never peaceful, because they have to be constantly trying to remember which lies they told to who. Even Sai Baba, that's one of those. Sai Baba became very popular because he gives us very good advice about morality. His spiritual advice is all wrong, but morality is very good. He said it's much better to tell the truth, and many people say that. And then you're going to remember. Don't have to remember, I told him this, and I told him that, and I told him that. You got to make sure you never talk to each other, and I don't want to meet you all at the same time. And it's very hard being a liar. People go crazy. And then they lie more and more to try to hide their lies. So you have to be careful. But Krishna knows everything. So, the Brahman is perfectly honest, and then he gets power that whatever he says comes true. Kunti was like that. Whatever she said would be true. She was so never told a lie like you just said. It had to be true, whatever she said. Nobody could go against it. So beg, borrow, and stealing is to live is condemned in this verse. But now in India they teach the teaching of this Charvak Muni instead of Chanakya Pandit. And Charvak says you have to enjoy life, and in those days enjoying eating meant cooked with ghee. Lots of ghee. He said, you have to get ghee, and if you don't have money, then beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee and enjoy life, because there's no next life. You don't have to worry. Just enjoy this life. And that's, like I think I said yesterday in Vrindavan, one of the advertisements for the luxury house said, you only live once, so you have to get this house now. Spend your $1 million, get this house, because you only live once, it's your last chance. Don't waste your life being austere. There's no next life, that's all just false. Sometimes when devotees are mentally disturbed in America or something, the doctor said, well, because you made a goal at which it just doesn't exist, that you want to have a better life in the next life, there's no such thing. That's why you're frustrated. You're sick because you're not having sex. You have to have sex, otherwise you'll be sick. You gotta eat meat. Doctor tells you. Right? Here, in one university I went to, the Bible says you have to eat meat. I said, where does it say that? And then they said, but everybody told me that it says that. Where does it say it? Well, nobody knows. One guy was telling me, as a Christian minister in America, and he had the Bible. I said, look at such and such verse. And I said, keep reading. And it was saying how you shouldn't eat meat. He got really mad. Just get out of here, leave me alone. Don't show me what the Bible really says. So that's why we give people Bhagavad Gita and pray that they'll read it and they'll get, you know, purified. We give them prasadam, they get purified. And get, you know, let them give donations to serve the devotees. So the more we preach, people want to help, they want to get in on it, then especially the more we give food. People like to do that. They know that's a good activity to feed the hungry people. Prabhupada says so strongly, everyone is poor. Rich people should get prasad. Everyone should get. They're all spiritually poor. Not just that the poor people are Narayan, the rich are Narayan, the goat, the dog, everyone's Narayan, the rich people also. Krishna's in everyone's heart. They're all suffering in separation from Krishna. Oftentimes the rich people, they need prasad more because they're the most sinful eating. And they're the ones who can afford all the beef. And poor people can't afford so much meat. Or they can only have to kill some animal in the forest or some buy one of those rats they hold up and they can't afford beef. But the rich people, they want to eat more and more beef. So they're killing more cows. And creating so much bad karma. Environmental pollution and poisoning their bodies and, you know, creating so much violence as a reaction. So intelligent man should not, again, do the same activities that gave us this body, which is miserable. We should engage in, which he says in the most famous verses a little bit later, you have to engage in tapasya for spiritual advancement. And then you can get out. That'll come in a few days, in about a week. These are very important verses. Describes everything about entangled in the material world, how to get out, you know. All right, any questions? Yeah.
Regarding the food distribution, in this part of the world, the people, they are very skeptical about the additional food. And the majority of the food for Lagos, they will give to the beggars. So, I don't know. In the north, the northern people, world, they are Muslim. So, they are even, they are more open-minded people. They don't think, but this part of the world, this west or east, the orientation from home, they are always fearful of taking food from unknown people. So it's very difficult to give the general population, but only the beggars right now will give it.
It's alright. They need it. They get the notion. They're not so pretty much. The Christians tell them not to take them.
Yeah, even if you go to the school and they later discover that you are the Hare Krishna, then they will go and tell the principal. Don't allow this,
except
it's not a disguise,
but
you're not
Hare
Krishna, then you can...
That's why Bali came to the time. So we do the beggars, do whoever take it. In some places we find, you know, if there's a big crowd in the village or something, you get a few people take it, then everybody else. In Ghana, they don't have. We go in the village right behind the temple, in some parts of Vrindavan, the Brahmanas won't take some. In some places, the Muslims won't take. They only take some Muslims. So everybody, every place you find something. But we just find, there's plenty of beggars here. You know? No problem to find them. So feed them and they'll get purified, and you know, other people will
Interesting.
Superman provides the testimony of when he was given book and he met a beggar.
Yeah, crawling around.
Yeah. And he gave him book and he recognized that the allocation before you to bring food for us was appreciated.
Yeah, well, let's keep doing it. We hope whoever will take it, you know. These rich people, and you know, they're unfortunate. They won't, they're so sinful that they can't even take the sun. They're just not allowed. Krishna won't let them. What is it? No meat. They think you put the jujus on them. Okay. So keep distributing. Books for Sodom. People read the books, they'll take the Sodom. So we've had places where we cook and we have some meeting, everybody likes it. When you're giving free food in public, a lot of people are suspicious. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanandam.